Hello, one and all, and welcome to the 236th episode of the Voluntary Viewing Podcast, coming to you on October 9th, 2023, Indigenous Peoples Day. Andrew, what's the difference between boy math and girl math?
I'm actually very glad that you asked.
I'm actually upset about this, too, so I'm going to chime in.
Okay, so I actually have never heard the term boy math before. Okay. I assume that boy math is, I don't know, justifying your crypto investments by talking about the money you'll be making later on. Girl math is, it's hard to like define girl math. It's easier to instead just give examples, but like an example of girl math would be that anything under $5 is actually free.
Is actually free because like $5 is not.
Yeah.
If you lose $5, you wouldn't even be upset. Yeah. So like it's basically free.
Not that it's worth it. It's free. It costs $0 if it costs less than $5. $3 is actually zero. Many people don't know this.
I mean, listen, if there's a chance you're going to lose that $5, which wouldn't even be that big a deal, it makes more sense for you to turn that into an
asset. No, you're not turning it into anything because it's free. You're not spending, you're not making a good investment or like just, you know, whatever, it is free. Another example of girl math would be if someone Venmos you back for something, you know, you pay for your friend's coffee.
Yes.
Or you you go out for dinner, your friend forgot their card, they Venmo you back for like the $20 that you spent on them. That is also just free money that you then are obliged to spend on something.
Right.
And Venmo balance does not count towards your overall wealth. Like that is... That is a blank.
That's money from the universe.
Yeah.
And then my favorite example of girl math is, I mean, anyone that's been to Kohl's has seen the deals, and they've been like, well, they said that I saved, you know, $25 because of like the made up prices that they have. But girl math takes that to another level where if you save money on a sale, that's negative money. Yeah, that's not like you didn't spend that money, even though you did. You know, a regular old girl math is, ooh, this product is $40, but it's 15% off. So like I'm only spending, you know, a little over $30. So I'm saving that money. Girl math is that money that you quote unquote saved is actually money that you're gaining.
Yeah, it's
that
profit.
Is going into your bank account. Yeah, you made money by going out and spending money on discounted items. Then that money that you quote unquote saved is directly added to your bank account, and you need to spend that right now.
The company paid you to purchase that product.
Yes.
They paid you however much it was marked down, and that then needs to be turned around and spent some way or another, because that's profit, you know, like you have it now. That's your money.
If you save more than you spend, you're making money.
If you save less than you spend, you're still making money. That's girl math. Like if the product is $25 off and you spent $75, you're still up $25 in girl math. Like you are net positive $25 on that transaction. That's just girl math. That's my biggest bone to pick, is that boy math isn't fun. Boy math is just like making fun of guys and just like, oh, boy math is 5'11 means 6 foot. Like, oh, boy math is like, it's just like toxic male traits. And it's just like, but like girl math is fun and funny. And like everyone enjoys girl math. Like everyone, no one's the butt of the joke. It's just like, it's fun ways that humans like legitify purchases to themselves.
Girl math is a thing that was made up by women. Girl math was not a thing where guys were like, my fucking wife is spending all this money at Kohl's
and girls be shopping. No, it's like, this is how we legitify purchases to ourselves, and men can totally empathize. You just substitute Taylor Swift concert tickets for a fucking lifted Ford F-350 or whatever. Like men do the same type of legitifying. It's just girl math is like fun and goofy, and boy math is just like relentless.
Cruel. Sorry, go ahead, Lucas.
Ryan, that was a very specific example, but also the perfect example. I'm sorry, Andrew, go ahead.
No, that's the perfect segue, because I saw an extremely toxic example of what I would consider to be girl math, but done by a man. And this was on the internet, so it might not have even been real. But like the example was this woman bought Taylor Swift tickets, you know, for herself and her friend, or like, yeah. I mean, I don't think her friend even like, I think her friend bought her own tickets, but like they were going to go together, and her boyfriend didn't want her to spend the tickets or spend the money on the tickets. Cause like, oh, it's a couple hundred dollars. Like we don't have a lot of money. But like, you know, was not happy with her buying the tickets, but whatever. Then, you know, she was able to get the tickets in the original sale. She didn't have to like go through a scalper. Before the concert, her boyfriend saw how much money the tickets were worth now, which was, you know, $4,000 instead of $200. So he was saying that she was obligated to sell the tickets because the money that they would be making off of them is like they would basically, he's saying that she is losing them like $3,500 by not spending the tickets. And now she owes him that money back.
Yikes. Yeah.
Men can do girl math too. It's just usually very bad.
I don't know about usually. I think it can also be as harmful or harmless as regular old girl math. But yeah, no, that is the same kind of logic. Like, you bought this thing that you really want to experience, but like now we could turn that into money and pay bills with it. So,
or maybe not even pay bills, maybe just like have that money. And maybe some of it can go to things he is enthusiastic about.
You can use this money to pay off your student loans, or I can go see Joe Rogan live.
Oh my God.
I don't
know. Does Joe Rogan do live shows?
I doubt it. I was just trying to think of the worst thing that you could spend money on.
Just Jordan Peterson, Ben Shapiro, and Joe Rogan, just like in a concert hall with 40,000 people. Just like, oh my God.
God, you know, it'd be titled that's something a douchey, blunt, like a meeting of the minds or
the nightmare blunt rotation.
The nightmare blunt rotation. Just actually Joe Rogan being weird and then just cringe. Except for Ben Shapiro and fucking Jordan Peterson would never fucking hit a J. They're way too square for that. Are you kidding me?
I think Shapiro would get like secondhand smoke from pot and just disintegrate. Like he would stop being a Peterson. Human for a little bit. That's
Peterson's he's falling apart.
Yeah, no, Peterson's on the brink of death. He might disintegrate from secondhand smoke just because his lung capacity is too low. Like his body is falling apart.
Has he been? Do we know if he's been diagnosed with anything, or is this all brought on because
all that diet? Yeah,
he was big on like I'm
poisoning him.
Yeah. No, it's basically that. I don't know that he has any actual medical condition other than just, poison. He's poisoned himself for years and now is paying the consequences.
Yeah, wasn't one of the things he was taking, like, doesn't he basically have heavy metal poisoning from some of those supplements?
Yeah, and I mean, just diet, like, pure lack of nutrition for the longest time.
And my closing thought on the difference between boy math and girl math, a new challenger appears. Recently, I saw a video that began with, here's what neurodivergent math is like. And then I do not remember the rest of it. I went into such a rage, I kind of just read it out. Neurodivergent math is just math. Like, that's... it's math. That's math.
You always love the quirkiness from the quote-unquote neurodivergent community. A lot of people who would self-identify as neurodivergent are definitely a little rough sometimes.
I mean, it's
and
the
like
same...
you know that they're very neurotypical but think that they're neurodivergent because that's trendy and are hopping and on that weird
because family. They're not popular, and only reason they can think of is that they're neurodivergent. I mean, it's the same way that like if somebody self-identifies as an empath, they almost certainly are not.
Yeah. Neurodivergent math means when I see 12 plus 9, I do 12 plus 10 and then minus 1 because I'm weird.
No, exactly. That's the thing.
I know that was it. You jumped back.
The neurodivergent math versus neurotypical math is just how do you add 9 to things? Yep. Like, I've seen that shit so many times.
People think that they're real fucking special and they just don't know that, like, No, most of us just do that in our heads and don't talk about it because it's very easy. Like, sorry, I'm really sorry that you're not as special as you might think you are. Oh well.
Fucking hell. Also on the podcast today, Ryan Holtz, why do people move? And this question is inspired by that very bogus New York Times article y'all may or may not be aware of.
I think that people should firmly plant themselves like an ant in the end stages of life in J.R.R. Tolkien's Middle Earth and just
become a tree.
Yeah, eventually become stone still, probably because you're dead. Like, yeah. You will likely perish from this condition. But yeah, eventually we should all strive to one day firmly plant ourselves in one position and never leave it, no matter the consequences. And yeah, that's the real return to nature that we're going to see. It's going to be very annihilation when they all start turning into plants. But it'll just be like skeletons, and like rotting meat and skeletons. Like, it won't be beautiful. It'll be actually pretty bad, pretty gross.
So I did not see this article. When it says when you're saying why do people move, is it why do people like move around physically, or is it why do people like move from their current home into a new one?
More or less it boils down to why do people move from state to state. It was kind of an investigation into that, and it was I don't know how well-meaning it even was. I don't even know how charitable I want to be to it, but it described things broadly as the majority of people move because of social or political reasons. And it's like, that's, if you're going that broad, that's the only reason people will systemically do anything.
Social reasons. I mean, like, you have a kid, a family member sick, you get a new job, you go to school. Like, those are all social reasons. Those are the only reasons that people do anything in life.
And if that getting a job is tied to, you got a new opportunity, or you were laid off and had to move to where there was more work. Like, that's all, at the end of the day, that's moving into socio-political systems that govern all of society. Bad article. And especially bad that it ended up in the same paragraph. Like, this family moved because they were concerned that they wouldn't be able to get health care for their trans child in a red state. This family moved because they were sick of the liberal state they lived in suppressing their right, and just like,
these two things are not equal. And
these people moved because they were worried about the trend towards anti-LGBTQ legislation being passed in their state. These people moved because income taxes were just too high, state income taxes, so they went to another place so they could make more money.
These people moved on paper, which is to say, for tax purposes, they bought a home in Texas that they claim is their main home, but just kind of bounce around wherever.
Hell yeah. You know, normal people stuff. Everybody does that.
New York Times op-eds. Oof. The more broad conversation about, like, why do people just physically locomotate, or however you say that, like, it reminds me of, like, back in the 80s. Have you guys ever read about spontaneous combustion?
Yeah.
Yes.
And how, like, in the 80s, people were like, I don't understand. It seems like people are just burning to a crisp in their chairs at home. And it's, it turns out that it's all just, like, people living alone who fall asleep while smoking, and then their clothes are highly flammable, and they just burn up real bad, real fast before they can, like, sit up and wake up. That's it. That was it. That was the whole thing. Like, we really thought it was like aliens. I don't know, man. Weird shit's happening. And it's just like, nah, people just like to smoke in their easy chairs, and then they fall asleep, and everything was really fucking flammable, and they would burn to death before they could properly wake up.
I mean, that's like not a thing that we have moved past. And like that, like, people seeing something that they can't explain immediately and going, there is no explanation for this, and you can't tell me otherwise. I mean, I see this shit all the time of like, the terraces at Machu Picchu look kind of like stairs. There's no other explanation other than giants used to be around. And
hell yeah.
And when people try to tell them, no, giant people did not used to exist. These are for farming. And then they go, oh yeah, sure. This is what big archaeology wants you to believe. It's like, what? There's no reason for these people to believe any of this shit. I also see stuff like people find mountains that have somewhat right edges, and they're like, those are pyramids. Those are pyramids that are, 50 million years old. Aliens must have been here. Blah, 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 blah. And it's like, there's no other logical explanation. Like, no, you're just refusing to do any sort of critical thinking or a simple Google search. Like, all of this stuff is so easy to determine.
Let's also ignore the triangles are the strongest and therefore most common shape in nature.
We love it.
Yeah.
That's actually a great pivot for me, Lucas DeRuyter, to get into your point, Ryan. Kind of sucks. People don't really smoke in movies and TV anymore. I mean, people shouldn't smoke. Hey, smoke if that you want sucks. To, I guess. Lucas. A little weird.
Why?
I don't know. I was watching
people don't smoke in real life that much anymore. I'd say in general, in American culture, at least, it's kind of frowned upon for the most part. You're the only people that really do it are kind of
teenagers
or like kind of fringy, like they're rebel types. They're all tatted up. They're like, I don't fit in this society. It's like part of that image more than like actually mainstream. It's fucking bad for you, man.
Yeah, no,
like,
it is.
You're just killing yourself. So yeah. Like the idea is like, if you do it, it means that you're kind of chill, like with the whole dying thing. Like, you're cool with
I'm
that.
Not saying they're not dirt bags, but like, maybe we need more dirt bags in media again.
No, I need you to explain to me why it is not good that people aren't smoking as much in movies and TV anymore.
Because in some instances, it undercuts the character a little bit. I recently watched the One Piece live action series. One of the characters, main characters in that, Sanji, chain smoker. Live action series, he lights a cigarette. I don't think we ever see him smoking a cigarette. That stuck out to me as a weird change. And also, like, I don't know, my partner and I will get into this a bit more later. We're watching every Wes Anderson movie right now. Holy shit, people smoking a lot in that. And boy, does seeing Jason Schwartzman as a dirtbag playing a dirtbag 15-year-old and seeing him smoking not like immediately make me know this kid, know this character. Like, I don't know, it can be motivated. And I feel like for social and political reasons, it's not allowed anymore. Not to say that. We shouldn't crack down.
We just talked about like social and political reasons being like the reason people move and like certain things being more valid than others in terms of like their motivations for doing stuff. And now you're saying that like cancel culture has gone after cigarettes.
Who doesn't know in the year 2023 that smoking is bad for you and that cigarette companies are evil? And I don't think like
cigarette companies are evil. I don't think is as widespread as smoking is bad for you. I think they're just like, they just make cigarettes.
There's company.
They don't necessarily, I don't think the general public is as aware of the actual lengths that cigarette companies have gone to and are still currently going to in markets outside of the United States. Like, I think that that's the main reason is just simple. Like, I think that the extent of it all is not necessarily as public as people might think. And it's also, just like, if you hand roll tobacco and smoke that because you enjoy it, like, sure, and that sounds fair. But when you're participating in this weird system and like governments are widely complicit in it because of the sin taxes that they can apply, like, it's just strange. That's why.
Every Wes Anderson movie does not take place within the last 20 years. Like, they take place during periods of time where people definitely did smoke more and it was more socially acceptable to do so. But let's be real. You're thinking it. I'm thinking it. What you really mean is that smoking cigarettes looks cool. It looks cool. It's aesthetic. It makes you look cool. And especially when you're on the camera, you put a cigarette in your mouth and you light it. You look fucking cool. Like, that's what you mean. We all know it. It's true. It is true. Kids, cigarettes are cool. They're very bad for you.
But very, very cool. I never got that. Like, in my editing class, I remember my professor was talking about, I think Tony Chu, like, just one of the Korean actors, and just, like, man, like, smoking real bad for you. Like, you know, we don't do it as much for good reason, but, like, Tony Chu, he could smoke the fuck out of a cigarette. Like, and I was just like, maybe I was kind of raised outside of that culture of, like, smoking is, like, forbidden. It's the forbidden fruit. Like, I was around people that smoked and people who didn't smoke, and the people who smoked
smelled bad.
They smelled bad and were fucking losers and, like, not people you idolized. And the people who didn't smoke seemed like they had their life together and had houses and, you know, made car payments. I don't know. Like, it just to me, like, maybe that makes me a fucking square, but it's obvious. Like, the people who were smoking were missing teeth, man. Like, I don't know. It just,
no, the average smoker cool. is wearing a cool leather jacket with his hair slicked back.
Nope.
Is a slave to the road, and
it was nothing like the movies. It was a farmhand who spoke almost exclusively in slurs and missing more than a few teeth, and yeah, just fucking reeked. Like, just if you were in an enclosed space with him, it was almost intolerable. Like, I don't know, just never seemed particularly cool to me. And Dare taught me that. Officer Fry said, just say no. And I did.
Did they change the acronym? Is it something different now?
Is it? I thought it was to resist drugs and alcohol, right?
We had, Lucas and I had something different, because Berlin had something different for fucking everything. We didn't have AP. We had, like, CAP. Like, with the whole, like, you know, advanced classes. But we didn't have DARE. We had RAP.
That's
resist
right.
And prevent.
That's so lame.
It is.
I'm sorry. That's way worse than DARE, which is impressive, honestly. Yeah, I guess drug abuse resistance education, and the tagline is to resist drugs and violence. Not alcohol, drugs and violence.
You know, alcohol, that's as American as apple pie and alcohol.
They definitely were fucking hardcore on alcohol in my DARE. They were like, no, fucking alcohol's terrible. Alcohol is as bad for you as meth. Like, that's DARE's fundamental problem, is they're like,
yeah,
all drugs are fucking the worst thing you can possibly partake in. And if you do it, you will fucking die. Like, and then, yeah, kids have some alcohol, kids smoke some weed, and they're like, all right, I guess DARE lied. This shit's pretty gravy. Let's
what else
do
they lie about?
Yeah, yeah. What else we got?
I'm going to be real with y'all. Did y'all learn about drugs for the first time? Thanks to
you. Yeah, absolutely.
Rap, whatever. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
They like taught me how to do whippets. Like,
they're trying to get out ahead of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know you could huff gasoline to get high until the DARE program.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, here's what you do. You take a can of spray paint and
spray it into a plastic
bag
and you hold it over your mouth.
And I'm like, and what happens? Like, and then you feel super euphoric. I'm like, it's that simple? Yeah, anybody can do it. And you can do a lot of it.
Yeah. No, like, they were trying to, like, preempt it. You know, they were doing that thing in, like, argumentative essays where it's like, you bring up the counter arguments in your argument and then, like, shoot them down. But I feel like every kid in America just, like, blacked out at the shoot them down part and was just like, oh, interesting. People are getting high from spray paint. And they'd have, like, an instructional video, which would have someone with, like, paint around the edges of their mouth. And you're just like, interesting. Like, this all seems very straightforward. They chug cough syrup until they feel real loopy. It's just like, oh.
Writing that one down for later.
Mm-hmm.
So fun thing comes up when you Google McGruff the crime dog. People also ask, what happened to McGruff the crime dog out of Texas? Actor who played the crime-fighting cartoon character McGruff the crime dog was sentenced to 16 years in prison, stemming from a 2011 arrest in which police seized 1,000 marijuana plants, 27 weapons, including a grenade launcher, and 9,000 rounds of ammunition from his home.
What?
McGruff was no snitch, man. He cashed that check and turned it into fucking paper.
This dude was a fucking
kingpin.
Fence. Yeah. He supplied the mafia.
I love it.
He was a fixer.
They didn't talk about McGruff the crime dog in my program at all. I had to learn about that through cultural osmosis through the years. They talked about Smokey the Bear.
Yeah.
Like, speaking of like things that you thought would be much more important in your life, like forest fire prevention, really thought I'd have to do that on an everyday basis.
Right.
Just, like, put out my campfires and okay. I don't know, Andrew, maybe Andy does more of that, but I don't know.
It's pretty fucking easy not to start a forest fire.
I have
in Wisconsin, maybe. California, it's just seemingly simple.
I mean, yeah, in California, think about how many wildfires are started just by like the coolest guy you know flicking a lit cigarette in a general direction of anything.
Right.
And then burning down half the state.
An A-list actor driving in his renovated 1967 Corvette Stingray through Malibu Canyon, just flicking that soul cigarette before he wraps his arm around his 25-year-old supermodel girlfriend.
Yeah.
And the entirety of the state of California goes up in smoke.
Refurbished, I think.
Refurbished, that is the word I'm looking for.
I'm trying to think the last time I started a fire. I guess I helped my mom with a bonfire last November when I was home for Thanksgiving.
Hilarious statement.
That was she just called the local fire department and was like, hey, we're doing this. Is it cool that we do this? Cool. Thank you. Bye. And that's it.
Are you guys within city limits?
No. I think we're in the township, not city.
Oh, you don't have to ask for shit. Yeah. You shouldn't have to do that.
We've started so many fires.
Yeah. If you're within the city, then absolutely you'll get knocked. People will report the smoke and shit. But no, if you're out in the country, you see smoke, you're like, someone's got a bonfire going. Like,
do your guys' parents still have a home phone?
No.
My parents actually just got rid of theirs.
Okay.
Yeah. My parents moved like 4 years ago, I think. And that's when they're home phone finally went away.
That's good impetus. My parents have cut that cord 4 or 5 years ago now. Maybe that happened back when we were in college, but yeah, I think it stopped being bundled in whoever their phone provider is. They would have had to have paid more to retain that along with internet and like wireless service. So no, bye.
It's just 90% telemarketers now, right? Like,
yeah.
Home phone numbers are way worse on all those fucking lists.
And cell phone numbers are plenty bad, but
yeah,
home phone numbers are awful.
I remember it. Like, I would answer the phone, and literally, like, over 50% of the calls would be telemarketers. So, fucking nightmares, man.
And we say telemarketers, like, half of those are scams. Like,
I think all telemarketers are scams. I don't think there's a single one where it's just like, oh my God, this is a genuine opportunity. Your life will be improved if you do whatever I want you to do. Literally.
Well, I mean, I mean, they're salespeople or like asking for donations from like a political organization.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew's got his own slant. They're just humble salespeople.
No, I mean, like they have a legitimate product that they can sell, and you are going to receive it. I don't mean that it is worthwhile. They still shouldn't be calling. I'm just saying that they are like a legitimate organization. And then there's people that are trying to steal from you.
All potato potato, man.
I get capitalism. It. Yeah, capitalism, blah. Yeah, I get it. Okay.
And just like, you motherfuckers have never had to make a cold call, and it shows. Like,
yeah, no, dude, this shit fucking sucks.
You think I want to do that?
It's
just my life.
God, it It's weird. It's weird reaching out to people for my job, being like, hey, do you want to come on a Twitch stream? Is that something that you'd be interested in? Yeah, you could talk about stuff you like, but like, do you want to do that with me, please? Please? Please?
Hi, is this Mr. Alderson? Hi, Mr. Alderson. I'm Lucas DeRider, and I represent Fandom Inc. and their Twitch stream affiliate. And
let me ask
I
you
have
a
an
question.
Exciting opportunity.
Have you ever wanted to watch anything? Well, what if you could be a part of that anything, and it was live?
And to an audience of thousands.
Sometimes they give you bits. What are bits, you ask?
Nobody knows.
Know. What do they call them on Twitch? Are they subs?
I think it is bits on Twitch. I think they have subs and bits. Yeah. Dude,
why not just money?
Why not doms?
Have y'all seen the recent backlash against... Oh, I see how it That's fun. Have you ever seen the recent backlash against NPC streamers and how, like, now, like, that it's been a few months and the craze has passed, people will, like, link to NPC streamers now, like, the big ones that kind of started the trend now, and, like, it's pretty sad. Like, now it used to be bringing in the fucking money, you know, and now it's like, oh, they're doing this for, like, the equivalent of like $6 an hour or something. Like, they are getting half a penny every couple seconds. Like, it is literally, I remember there was that one modern art project where it was just, you turn a crank, you know, and it's set up so that if you turn the crank at a consistent pace over the course of an hour, it kicks out exactly $7.25. And it's meant to, like, show you like what minimum wage is actually like in reality. And just, yeah, like, turn that crank, get $7.25 an hour. It's like that, but with weird digital currency, and TikTok takes half of it. And yeah, it's kind of wild that that was even a trend in the first place. And now we're in this weird postmodern age of it where it's become reflexive. Yeah. I don't know, man. Art.
Speaking of art and weird people who make it, five former Ubisoft execs are arrested by police for questioning about sexual misconduct allegations. This happened within 24 hours of the new Assassin's Creed game releasing, and that's kind of hilarious timing to me personally.
Are you saying Ubisoft makes art? That's a bold stance.
Video games are art. A lot of video games might be bad, but they are still art.
I agree with you that video games are art. Now, is what Ubisoft makes. Are the
video
Ubisoft
game.
Video games considered art?
Are they considered video games?
So, you know what? I'm a strong advocate of, under no circumstances do you have to give it to them. So, no, I will not give it to them.
I've taken it away.
That maybe they've made art, maybe they've made video
in
games, but never have the two met.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Plague Tale of Innocence, art. Baldur's Gate 3, art. Assassin's Creed 14, this time I don't even know what you're French now, right? I don't know. What's the new one?
Is the second version of Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 art?
Modern Warfare 3 2? Is that art?
For what I've heard people on podcasts talk about the new Assassin's Creed game, apparently it's back to basics. Apparently it's like the first game quite a bit. Which
that
means
game
it's...
fucking sucked. Have you guys played the first Assassin's Creed? Awful game. Like,
I don't think I have.
Objectively bad. I have played 2, like, that was my first Assassin's Creed game, and I was like, holy shit, great game. Played Brotherhood, great game. And then I think for, like, and then Revelations, great game. Play for 3, they bundled in the first one, like, included as like a digital whatever, and I, like, finished 3 and I was like, yeah, might as well try out 1. And I was like, oh my god, this series took a fucking leap from Assassin's Creed 1 to 2. Like, they made just the most bland, boring protagonist who, like, has no abilities and is just lame as shit. And it's just a repetitive fetch mission where it's just like, go to this district, kill this person, come back and get this piece of equipment, like on repeat for 9 hours. That was Assassin's Creed 1. It's horrific. Like Portal 1, you go back and you're like, yeah, it's just a shorter version of Portal 2, which is a masterpiece. Like, so also a masterpiece. But nah, Assassin's Creed 1 was not it. It's embarrassing. So I'm curious what this would look like in the year of our Lord 2023. Back to the basics Assassin's Creed.
It sounds like it's very similar to... it's making the same impression as what the first game did, which is to say 6s and 7s across the board. I don't know. There are some people who... There are some sickos out there, God bless them, who are like, yeah, this is what I want Assassin's Creed to be. I want all the RPG stuff. I want all the monetization opportunities just stripped out of it. And you're just stealing stuff. You're just killing dudes. And like, this is for those couple of dozen people and not many others. And I'll say that as someone who has very much enjoyed video games made for a couple dozen people.
I've seen so much of the praise for this game being like, just, oh man, we love that they took it back to the desert. We like that it's in the Middle East again. And it's like that, they're like, oh man, the sand, it like really makes me, you know, nostalgic for the original Assassin's Creed. It's right. Like the exact opposite of the IGN Too Much Water review. It's like, oh my god, it's great because there's so much sand.
Then they're like, this really brings back just some retro vibes of Assassin's Creed Origins, man. It's like it's 2017 again. Like, I feel young.
Oh my god, the original Assassin's Creed came out in 2007.
Yeah.
Wow, we weren't even in high school then.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, huh. No, like Origins was like a reboot of the franchise that took place in the desert. And that was like a decent amount of time ago where like a fan could genuinely be like, oh, wow, this just harkens back to the good old days of
2017
of Assassin's Creed Origins. Like,
man, don't you guys love the tail end of the Bush years? Don't you want to go back to that?
I did not play Assassin's Creed in 2007, as I would have been 11 years old. My parents, I don't think my parents were really allowing me to play like T for teen games yet in that time. So yeah, Assassin's Creed was definitely off the table. Interestingly enough, though, I think right when I hit teenager was when it was just like all bets are off. Like, yeah, whatever. I don't care anymore. MA, doesn't matter. You're fine. And I was, because yeah, like, it's all bullshit. Like, it is what it is.
Speaking of bullshit, thanks to a vote forced by alleged human trafficker Matt Gaetz, Republican Kevin McCarthy has been voted out of his position of Speaker of the House.
I would argue that's very much not bullshit, because it's the funniest fucking thing I've heard in a long time, that fucking Kevin McCarthy failed how many, like 8 votes to be confirmed as Speaker of the House?
Yeah, he tried so hard and had to completely sell his soul in order to get confirmed. And it wasn't until the 9th one. The same people that he just bowed down and like sucked the cocks of then ousted him for not being extreme enough.
Yep. That was amazing. Like, I just, it's like chef's kiss. It's like literally the Republican Party in 2023 just like laid bare. Like, it is stripped of all pomp and circumstance. Just like, this like hardcore conservative who like is totally mainstream on every conservative opinion is not hardcore enough for a decent chunk of the Republican base. So there's a little contingency of that base that gets to just dictate everything for the entirety of like half of the political spectrum in the United States. And as a result, we currently don't have a Speaker of the House. We're just coasting on vibes.
They're not going to be able to find someone to fill that. Like, I understand, like, due to process, somebody's filling in an interim role.
No, there's a couple people that are like going for
trying to be in,
like Jim Jordan. I think there's one other one.
Steve Scalise.
Yeah, Steve Scalise. They want that shit bad.
But Jordan was like the fringe candidate during McCarthy's run.
Yeah.
And Scalise is just McCarthy part two. Like, it's just, I don't see how the impasse is resolved, because it was so fucking funny that McCarthy was like railing against the like vote to remove like addendum or whatever. And it's like, bro, you agreed to this. Like, I don't understand. This is classic Republican shit. Like, how do you, of all people, not understand that, like, yeah, when you agree to a concession, it will 100% be used against you at the drop of a hat. Like, everyone knew when they saw that there's an ability to call an immediate vote for removal that, like, he's not making it through this term. Like, he's absolutely gone at the first sign of trouble.
By the nature of how fascism works, which is broadly what the Republican Party has become a vehicle for, we'll stick with the language fringe members of the Republican Party absolutely are, there's no middle ground candidate they can all agree on.
Exactly. Because
there's no being a little bit of a fascist.
A little fashy.
You can't be.
You're just a little fashy. You're fashy junior.
This is an all or nothing kind of thing.
I mean, it is, yeah. Like, same fucking thing for, like, if Democrats had enough motivation, like, if the squad had enough motivation to actually hold the entirety of the party hostage, it'd be the same fucking thing.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing that will be agreed upon for a center ground, because, like, they've basically taken it over from within. Like, they run as Republicans, but are literally just a new fascist party. Same as the Tea Party was back in the day, mm-hmm. that can just control all legislation put forward by the Republican legislature, because there's no compromising with them. They are too extreme in their views to possibly find like a fun little middle ground where it's like, oh, you're like a little hated. Are you hate people like pretty much, you know? you're not happy with all the shit going on, but you don't necessarily want to like kill them all, unlike us. So like, maybe we can find a place to meet in the middle. Like, I don't know. It's weird.
I don't know what happens next year. I don't know how this works, which,
I mean, it's literally unprecedented.
Right.
It has never happened before. So that's fun.
But I, on some level, good for Democrats, I guess, being like,
There's no motivation for them to defend Kevin McCarthy. He has shown a complete lack of any sort of compromise during his entire tenure as Speaker of the House. Like, I saw that too. People were just like, well, why would the Democrats remove? They're probably just going to get a more extreme person installed. And it's just like, but McCarthy's the same thing. Like, he's also refusing to compromise on any policy whatsoever. So even if there's a more extreme Speaker of the House, the outcome is literally identical for Democrats. So, like, why would they not vote to remove him? Like, it just, there's no reason not to for them.
Yeah, like, you can sow a little chaos, or help sow a little chaos in the Republican Party. They're not responsible for it.
Exactly.
But, like, the Democrats don't want a unified Republican front.
Right.
Like, that's bad for everybody, but especially them.
No, like, they are putting forward their own candidate. Like, Hakeem Jeffries was far and away the second highest vote getter for Speaker of the House. Like, they are putting forward their own person to be the Speaker of the House. So it's kind of like, what are they just supposed to be like, yeah, let's go for this Republican dude, not Hakeem Jeffries, who would be a much better Speaker of the House and would actually try to pass legislation that does anything to help any sort of marginalized group in the slightest. And, like, let's be honest, help in that he's going to stop anything from getting worse, but will absolutely do like nothing at all to make anything better. Just status quo, neoliberals. Yeah. I don't know, man. It's funny. It is funny. And I love that you put the alleged in there. Pretty sure
Yeah, it's
that doesn't seem necessary in a video game.
It's a fact and everything but name. Was he acquitted? I thought it just hasn't like gone on yet.
I thought
the charges were dropped. I don't know that he was acquitted. I mean, I don't think it went to trial.
He also was like on the House like FBI committee and and like threatened to remove like the funding for the, he basically said, I will destroy the FBI unless you like drop these charges against me.
That's what Vivek wants.
Yeah.
Vivek literally said day one, disband the FBI. It's like, yo, what?
Okay. DOJ tells Matt Gaetz that he won't be charged in sex trafficking probe. His lawyer said, so they didn't have enough to get him.
Yeah. They dropped charges. Like, it's not the same as acquitted. And even acquitted is not the same as innocent. Like, there's multiple layers of...
No, they didn't say our bad. They said, we'll get you next time.
Yeah, they said, you better fucking keep your nose
watch
clean,
yourself, Matt
asshole.
Gaetz.
You're about to be up Schitt's Creek with no fucking paddle, weird cult city boy. Have you read about the town that Matt Gaetz comes from?
No.
Oh yeah, it's
I just know he has that boy that he is in possession of or whatever.
Boy. Yeah, no, he comes from what's it called, right? That weird planned community thing. I don't know. I gotta look
it
up.
Is Matt Gaetz from the Scientology town?
I don't think it's the Scientology town.
It says he's from Hollywood, Florida.
I know, that's where he was born, but I don't... Now I'm worried. I'm not positive. It might be another...
Fort Walton Beach?
Grew up near Fort Walton Beach. Mm-hmm. Niceville High School. Jesus Christ. Niceville. Niceville High School in Niceville, Florida. Niceville, is this the fucked up place? Where's the fucked up place? No. Damn it. I don't know. Which right wing nut job is from that fucked up city in Florida where like it was like a planned utopian community? Planned utopian community, Florida. And which person? Celebration
State Park. Oh, Celebration
Florida. That's what it is, y'all. Celebration Florida. It's a weird ass place.
Celebration is a master planned community, MPC, and census designated place.
Nope.
In Florida, suburb of
Orlando. Originally developed by the
Walt
Disney Company. Yep. Yeah, who's from here? Notable, let's see, notable, whatever. Damn it. Yeah, the Todd family murders were, or the Toddett family murders or whatever were from Celebration. Where's the notable people? They don't have that on this Wikipedia. I know there's a right-wing nut job from here. Interesting. Well, I will keep looking. Notable people. Top five celebrities live in Celebration, Florida. Shaquille O'Neal, Carrot Top, Joey Fatone, Vince Carter, Chipper Jones. Oh, this is a night, another nightmare blunt rotation.
You wouldn't smoke with Shaq?
I don't know, man. Shaq's a little strange.
He's very strange.
Shaq's a weird guy.
I want to appreciate Shaq from a distance. I feel like, you know what? See him on TV, commenting on basketball games. Fantastic. Interesting dude. You peel back that onion even a little bit, shit's going to get real weird real fast.
I mean,
Shaq voted for Trump in 2016.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
I mean, Shaq could also suck down a blunt in one puff like fucking... Yeah. Daffy Duck.
Yeah. Yep.
Also, stuff's happening with Israel and Palestine again. I mean, it's always been happening, but now there's been an escalation. I don't feel wholly qualified to talk about this one, I'm gonna be honest.
It's crazy shit, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still going.
Mm-hmm. And it seems like if you talk to the leadership of Israel, they're just going to keep on going forever until there's nowhere left to go.
Yeah.
Time to evacuate, says Netanyahu.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, they're going to flatten Gaza. Like, they're going to lay, I mean, they literally like have enacted a siege. They've cut out all water, electricity, food, they're bombing the absolute shit out of Gaza. It's not going to be there.
America's greatest ally in the Middle East, everyone.
You count Turkey?
Oh,
no.
No, you don't. For what, like, not Middle East, not ally? What's the...
No, I mean, not as strong of an ally as Israel. Oh. Like,
I don't know, man.
I mean, also, Turkey is a fucking dictatorship. Like,
don't disagree, but look, we can count our allies in that region on two fingers. And one of them is, not that much less problematic than the other.
And is Turkey trying to genocide anyone?
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, they are.
How successful
are they at it, you know?
Pretty successful.
Well,
like,
shit.
They're decent genociders.
Yeah, no win.
That's the ratio that you're using. Who's genociding more effectively than the other of U.S. allies? Who's doing the genociding better?
Yeah, no, there's a reason why there isn't Kurdistan.
You know? I'm not saying either are good. I'm just saying that, you know, Slumlord Lucas, you got to make the tough decisions sometimes.
Oh, God.
You're going to go to Turkey and be a slumlord?
No, if I were running shit, that would be what's going through my mind. Well, which one of these bad allies is less bad?
I feel like if I was running shit, I'd just maybe know allies that are bad. Maybe, I don't know.
But Ryan, we need to do a performative invasion of the Middle East so that George W. Bush can still be president.
Yeah. And Turkey was involved? I genuinely don't know that much about Turkey's involvement in Afghanistan and Iraq, but, you know, other NATO countries were not super thrilled about the whole thing.
No.
We were like, come on, NATO, back us up. We're at war. NATO was like, are you, though?
Seems like, yeah. I mean, NATO was fairly involved in Afghanistan. Like, that's why there were, like, tons of British and Australian troops there.
Yeah.
Because they were like, yeah, no, you were attacked. These people are terrorists. The Taliban harbored Al-Qaeda, and, you know, they're already doing bad shit here. So this makes sense. We could get involved in this and feel not too bad about it. And they're like, all right, and next, Iraq. And they're like, why?
You mean your old buddy? You mean the guy you backed? Interesting. Didn't you? What was that thing in the 90s that we helped you out with? Wasn't that also there? Okay. All right.
Listen, if we don't do this, imagine how much oil in America will cost in 2023. $6 a gallon in the city of Los Angeles?
Damn. Yeah, what's gas like there in Wisconsin, Andrew?
I filled up yesterday, and I think it was like $3.25 a gallon.
Oh, you're a dick.
Yeah. Angel took a picture last time we were there when it was $2.99 a gallon. She was just like, we found that picture yesterday and we were just like, oh my God.
It got down below a dollar like in the early days of COVID.
Oh, in the early days of COVID.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. When gas was literally free. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Here it got to like into the $2.
No, it got up to almost $4 like a month or two ago, and it's since come back down.
Yeah. It hasn't been under $4. In what, Lucas?
God, my wallet's really hurting from these gas prices. Why doesn't Joe Biden do the responsible thing and invade a Middle Eastern nation?
I don't know if gas has been below $4 in the entire time I've been in Los Angeles.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. I think Angel took a picture once when it was like right at $4.
Ugh.
And was like very proud of like, we did it.
Yeah, I think $3.99
and 9/10 of a cent.
Last time I was out there, I think I saw gas that was like $7 a gallon. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's always around twice as much as what it is here.
It depends on where you're at, like what neighborhood and how close you are to like a highway. Yeah. Getting gas any place near the 101 is a bad idea because I know they're kind of operating off of the freeway logic, like the interstate logic of, hey, this is, if you need gas, you need gas, and we're going to charge you as much as we can get away with.
Yeah. People are lazy, but also, like, yeah, unless it's pretty fucking egregious, it's honestly not even worth it that much to shop around for gas.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you're saving like $1.20. Like, it's just not worthwhile for the most part.
Ugh.
But yeah, I also don't think a Middle Eastern invasion would even necessarily bring down gas at this point. I think it's just overall trend of inflation, right? Like, oh well.
Hey, how'd you guys get Helsin out of the goblin camp in Baldur's Gate 3?
We went in because Jason and Ian had already done this in their own campaign, so they knew a little bit more going in than we did. But we went in, goblins didn't fight us because we didn't like fight.
We hadn't aggroed the goblin camp yet.
Yeah.
Okay. We just walked in.
Yeah. We walked in, figured out who the targets were, and systematically sequestered them into rooms alone, surrounded them and beat the shit out of them until they were dead, and like tried not to alert the guards, and then hid the bodies, and then went to the next place we had to go to. Closed the doors, made sure nobody was near the doors, and then just started wailing on people. We did that 3 times.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the first room, there was people, we killed them and like dragged them into the room. Like I picked them up and put them in my pack and then like brought them into the little closet and dumped them. And then like the witch woman, like Jason talked to her.
Yeah.
And like was like, I'm one of the whatever, like the...
I'm a true believer.
Yeah,
true souls.
True soul, yeah. And then that got her like alone in a room and we just like brutally murdered her. And that was like one down. And then, the next one was, I think, Halzin's in the cage or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we like, I think Ian used Cloud of Daggers. And we killed them, and then the kids.
We're a call for help, tried and to run we just away. Murdered and them Jason, as they ran away.
We didn't. Oh, Jason's character, who's definitely like kind of evil, used Misty Step to teleport in front of them and just brutally murdered the children, and then the Cloud of Daggers and everything else killed the other people, and we killed the Beastmaster before he could free. I think that's where Ian casted Cloud of Daggers was. On the lever for opening the cage so that the wargs could come out. So then, they all died. We killed them all. And then I remember after the battle, Andrew just walking right into the Cloud of Daggers.
Yeah. I didn't know what it was. Like,
we've been talking about it the whole fight. And then all of a sudden, battle's over. Andrew just walks straight in.
I didn't think that it would still go like
it was
after...
like time to loot, like just like a garbage disposal, just damaging the shit
Get blended, son.
And then Halzin was like, "Hey, you guys are cool. Thanks for freeing me. You want me to join you?" And we're like, "I think we're gonna try to go stealthy with this, so not yet."
Yeah, because he said like, "I have to warn you, I won't be able to contain my bear form."
Yeah, we're all like,
That is fascinating that y'all had the option to go stealth.
Did you like fight as soon as you got to the goblin camp or something?
So I freed the goblin that was imprisoned in the grove. And I think because of that, they like let me. It was chill. They were vouching for me. They told them my vibes were immaculate. So they let me into the camp. I didn't have to like fight my way in or anything. So then I talked to everyone, scoped out the place. And then I found the room where they were keeping Halzin. Immediately realized that was him. Fought all of them, freed him. I joined up with him. I said, hey, come on, man, get in here. It'll be fine. And then, you can't do anything there with him in your party. Everyone just immediately aggroes. Yeah. I think whether he is in bear form or not.
That makes sense.
And then that just turned into a gauntlet. I ran out of healing items. That was the most desperate I've gotten Baldur's Gate 3 so far, where you have to, yeah, it's three encounters with three bosses, and you can't, I mean, you can kind of keep people away from the war drums, keep people from calling other people, but otherwise, no, you just gotta budget your resources for three different groups of fights back to back to back.
So yeah. Let me ask you a question, Lucas. This yes. is a strategy thing. I think it might help you a lot. Do you have a floating hammer of God?
Yeah. I do not.
Because if you don't, it's very
spiritual
very
bonker is a good tool to have at your disposal, especially when your cleric unexpectedly gets murdered on the very first turn, but the hammer is still there.
Ooh,
the hammer is still alive.
No, the first thing that I have to do every time we go into an encounter is call up the hammer because
you
good
will
chance,
be playing as the hammer.
Yeah, because there's a solid chance that the next thing that happens is a monster falls from the ceiling and crushes me to death.
And then you will be a hammer for the rest of the fight.
How I got through most of those fights was within that camp, there was a lot of verticality and even raptors you can just hang out in. So I Asterion, the maybe vampire guy. I don't know yet. Probably
yeah, we don't know
guy.
Him either. Yeah. We know nothing about Asterion.
We met Asterion and Ryan killed him immediately.
Yep.
I just had him like crawl up there and shoot arrows, usually while hiding, to do like often 20 points of damage a hit. And then, yeah, people would go up there. People would chase him. But he also gets two bonus actions every turn. So he was just pushing people off of rafters left and right, usually to their death.
It's not bad.
Smart.
Yeah. And then I just got through the encounter. How did you guys leave that camp? Can you teleport? Because I left through the door and then had to fight all of the drunken goblins and like ogre thing and like what are they called? Bear bugs.
Yeah, bug we bears? Did it completely differently. So we you said you freed a goblin from the grove. I don't think we did that, right?
No,
Andrew?
I don't think we ever even saw a captive goblin.
So we just like walked in and they're not aggro. They're like, they're like kind of mad at you. Like they're
like, hey, who are you? And then you have to
what's your deal? And you have to pass like a speech check and stuff.
Yeah.
And then
you say you're with the absolute or you're a true soul, then they're like, oh, cool.
Shit.
Come on back.
So then, we killed the one. When we killed Halzin's group, like people that were there, that didn't, like, we kept that quiet so that we didn't get any extra aggro there. Then we had to kill Minthara and all them.
Yeah.
And we again like kept that quiet. I didn't go to the whole camp. And then I think we even did the last group and the whole camp still wasn't aggroed.
Yeah.
So then we teleported out of there and came back to the front gate and then started fighting.
Yeah. Okay.
The group at the front gate.
I did not realize you could like teleport out of there. I thought it was
If you're not in an encounter, you can teleport.
Okay.
I think at any time to anywhere.
Yeah, you can fast travel.
Yeah. But then the next time we went there, because we didn't go there and then say, okay, let's kill everybody. We left, did some other shit, and then realized that there was like an item or a door or something like to get to another area hidden there. So we went back. And when we went back, then everyone like started fighting because like I think they then found the bodies and realized, oh shit.
Yeah.
Those guys that were just here.
I think that was my favorite fight as my character. Because the front doors, when you get over the bridge, there's only one door that's like kind of open. So I just put my barbarian in the door and was just like, fucking come at me, and went into a barbarian rage and like then just soaked in all the damage as we just like methodically eliminated them like one by one, and then like went into the next room and like did the same basic strategy. And that's also where I cut down the scaffolding and then like fucking murdered the dude that fell off of it. That was a good fight.
I feel like I have like a more traditional boss fight coming up. Because right now it feels like a lot of the combat in Baldur's Gate 3, and maybe this is true of Dungeons and Dragons more broadly, so much of it is crowd control. Like so much of it is, I also have that like blade fog. Like I have the blender spell. And just throwing that up and killing like four goblins with like seven hit points apiece, has been like the most effective strategy so far. Like anything that allows me to do damage over an area seems to be way OP right now.
Yeah, AoE attacks are awesome, especially if you're like getting surrounded. But yeah, like sometimes like there's so much verticality to this game, like more so than I really expected. Like it's really hard to just manage the fight like successfully. Like that, like it takes teamwork.
Yeah. Killing someone like when they're low on health is the most important thing. Like anytime you can get a kill shot, you should take it, because that potentially eliminates X amount of damage that can come your way when it becomes that enemy's turn. Like, so yeah, like if you can kill four enemies, even if they're all low level, with one attack, that's way more valuable than like killing off, or, you know, like taking damage out of the most powerful enemy that you're facing. Like you're right. It's definitely crowd control based, killing as many people as you can, as quickly as you can.
Also getting chip shots in on anyone doing like blessings or anything that requires concentration. That's been helpful. I learned that one the hard way a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Have you fought the hag yet?
No. There's a hag?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there's a hag. That was our first wipe. We were just like, ooh, fuck. What do we do here?
Have you guys gotten to a dragon yet? Have you fought a dragon? There was some intimations. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And then also, since you guys are playing with like other real people, how are you outside of combat? How are you navigating stuff? Are you guys like actively being mindful of what your skill sets are and trying to get the best person for the job on it? Like, is one person's job, because of what their stats are, just, hey, every time we need something unlocked, get in there, Andrew, or whoever?
Yeah, I think
that would be.
We're definitely being strategic about who talks to who when. Also, not even like necessarily with our skills, but with like our storytelling. Like,
we're like, oh, this makes sense for Ian to get in here and talk to this person. And
oh, this guy's religion based. Like, maybe we should probably get Seamus in here, talk about some God with these people. No, this guy we might need to be ethically flexible here. Let's have Jason go in there and be the bad guy. Like, yeah.
Okay.
And then I'm the one that accidentally gets dragged into cutscenes. I'm when Evil Drickwa gets into a cutscene and he's just, what? He does use Intimidate a lot, and it actually does work a decent amount, where he's just like, explain now. And it's just like, oh, fine, I'll explain everything. Like, his smooth brain sometimes works to the advantage of the group. I don't know.
Fantastic. And of course, I would be remiss if I did not mention, still weird that goblins aren't really people in this game, you know? Like, I don't know. It's been a long criticism of Dungeons & Dragons that, like, race is often tied to morality, along with other, like, characteristics that don't have anything to do with, like, ethnicity of origin. But, yeah, that's it's weird that you can't be a goblin. You can't play as a goblin. But, goblins are, like, default jobber enemies in this game.
Goblins are monsters. Like, that's the people, like, they're humanoid, you know?
Yeah.
Like, so people think like they're just another race, and it's like they're not really. Like, they're, and then they're like, oh, but they have language and they communicate, and it's like, like a lot of monsters in the Dungeons
and
Dragons.
I mean, so
do
the mind flayers.
Like, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Dragons are like very intelligent.
They're
creatures.
They're not people. Yeah. They're sentient monsters, like the same as trolls. And sure, you can say, like, in a storytelling world as complex as Dungeons and Dragons, that oftentimes deals with like, oh, the tieflings are an oppressed people, and as a result, or blah 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 blah. And then there's goblins, which are just inherently evil, and you should kill all of them. It's fine. It is a little weird.
Yeah, same thing with Tolkien. Like, it's just the roots of fantasy that like, there are races that are monsters, and they are not allowed agency to be good or evil. And there's a lot of races that are, they're fluid, they're flexible. So Tolkien's is a lot more like black and white, like elves good,
goblins orcs bad,
men either. Like everyone else like has a pretty distinct, you don't get to choose, man. You are good or you are evil. There is no gray. So in that way, Dungeons and Dragons is a lot more fluid, that like tieflings can be whatever and high elves can be evil. And
but what if elves too good? That's a problem.
Tolkien doesn't really deal with that.
Yeah.
Humans hate elves that they're too good, but that's not like a story reason that they're too good.
That's where we're at in Baldur's Gate. Can't wait to get a campaign going with y'all and also keep my solo one going. It's interesting, and I'll say it's kind of, I don't know, it's weird. It's kind of, so many video games, so many RPGs are taking like concepts in Dungeons and Dragons and putting their own spin on them or modifying them to work better in video games or be a more streamlined thing in real-time role-playing games. Wild and interesting to go back to a video game that's just, this is Dungeons and Dragons tweaked slightly so that it works better for a video game experience. And enjoying it.
Yeah. I have my character ready for our group playthrough.
How are we going like full role play? We're not bits anymore. These are like fully formed people.
Oh. Mine's kind of bitty.
Oh, okay.
But you could have a backstory too.
Listen, man, I can make a character that's just a small business owner circa 2011. That would be fun for me.
Circa 2011? That's a very specific time period.
I want to make Duralius from Duralius and Associates.
I'll make Saul Goodman.
Yeah.
Do it.
No. I've never even seen that show.
Not a show, but a couple of movies. Alluded to this before, my partner and I are watching every Wes Anderson movie. So far, we have seen the first three, which is Bottle Rocket, Rushmore, and The Royal Tenenbaums. Let me tell you guys, it is weird how early Wes Anderson is trying so, so hard to make Luke Wilson just the fucking dude in every movie he makes.
You know?
Yeah.
Every director's got their weird fixation on a performer.
Luke Wilson is such a weird choice for a muse. And you see it in his early movies where he's actively figuring out, wait, do I want Luke Wilson to be my guy? Or, I don't know, this Jason Schwartzman kid. I don't know what it is, but he's got it.
Yeah, Jason Schwartzman is also in there a lot.
Yep.
And then another takeaway I have from these early films. The first two movies, at least, like the tweeness that Wes Anderson is known for, like the interacting with the world, very like stylized, pointed, like symmetrical nature. Those are only coming from characters who are in like just bad places mentally in the first two movies. And it's kind of interesting how it goes from, oh, this analness of them is speaking to the characters, and whatever trauma or weird circumstances they are going through is quickly becoming, oh no, the entire world is just like that. And I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying this movie watch through. A Life Aquatic is next on the list. And I know nothing about that movie. I knew nothing about The Royal Tenenbaums. And I think I know even less about A Life Aquatic. So I will report back.
I like Life Aquatic.
Okay. What are y'all checking out?
What are we checking out, Andrew? What are you checking out?
I'm not checking out anything, honestly.
How was the woods? How was communing with nature?
I didn't go camping.
Oh, wait, you said you were busy last weekend. I guess I just assumed that was camping.
I went and visited
a craft fair.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh.
Went to a winery.
Ooh.
Got pizza.
Not very nature.
Did Did they pair the pizza with a wine or?
No, I got beer.
Oh,
like
at the winery.
At the winery,
like craft beer or just like. Yeah,
It was a local. Yeah,
okay.
It was a Pabst. No, it was a local brewery.
It's pretty good.
It's nice.
I don't know. Did we talk about the Bucks getting Damian Lillard?
No, I don't know that we did. Should. Yeah,
I think we skipped that.
It was a big
deal.
I feel like
that's what I've been focused on in culture. Now that the Brewers are dead.
Yeah, I was. That's something I was checking out. I was checking out the Brewers' postseason run, and it was more of a slide.
Is that a run? There were no wins.
The Diamondbacks shouldn't even have been there, and that was.
And now they're killing the Dodgers.
They're looking like they might go to the NLCS.
Well, aren't the Dodgers also better than they should be this year, or slightly fraudulent?
Dodgers are always good.
Yeah, no, they're a powerhouse team. They weren't as good as they were maybe last year, but they're still an elite top tier team.
Their players are going down like one by one with scandal after scandal, and they keep having new people step up and being very good. So, you know. But yeah, Diamondbacks are up 1-0, so who knows?
Yeah.
But yeah, no. The Bucks are a destination now. Like, apparently Damian Lillard, in his interview, they asked him about it, like, what happened, because he said you only wanted to go to the Heat. And then his agent apparently brought up the Bucks, and he was like, I mean, yeah, if they could make it happen. Duh, I want to compete to win a ring. Like,
yeah,
why would I not go there? And then the Bucks made it happen. So,
an article I read described the situation as, yeah, so Dame is going to be the best teammate Giannis has ever played with. We're not sure how good the Bucks are going to be this year, but
if everyone stays healthy, they will be good.
The Bucks are unstoppably good. The Bucks are an actual super team now.
There's not a fit problem with Dame. Like, they traded their starting point guard. Dame won't play as good of defense as Drew will, but he'll be light years ahead on offense. Like, they'll have some elite shooting. Like, Chris Middleton has flashed that at different points. Like,
he's called cash money for a reason.
That's the thing. Chris Middleton is a good, like, a really good offensive player.
Yeah,
love him, stan Chris. But Damian Lillard is Dame. Like, it's Dame time. It's a different league.
Chris Middleton's not an off ball, like, catch and shoot guy. Like, he's a ball dominant, dribble around, back to the basket, turn around, fade away, backboard, like, getting you 2 points when you really need it, which is a valuable player. And like, the fact that he is now our third offensive option is insane. Like, he's by far the best third option in the NBA when it comes to offense. Like, that's absolutely ridiculous. But Drew Holiday, he was on the team, man.
Good luck to him. Yeah,
on the Celtics. No, bad luck to him.
Did you not
see Drew Holiday went to the Celtics?
Yeah, no, Portland traded him to the Celtics a few days later. So
I forget, were we on hot mics when we talked about Ireland? Celtics. I still say that mascot is offensive.
No, the Fighting Irish is offensive. Why is the Celtics offensive?
It's just a clover.
It's a leprechaun, right?
Yeah, no.
Oh, the mascot, not the logo. Yeah.
Are leprechauns offensive just as a concept?
I mean, when they're named Lucky the Leprechaun, a little bit.
I feel like that's 90% of leprechauns are named Lucky the Leprechaun. That's just a reality. They're lucky. What do you want from
them? I am not offended by Lucky the Leprechaun.
I think you're thinking of Fighting Irish, which, I mean, look, we can talk about.
It's basically
that
a caricature. Yeah. Like,
I don't know.
Celtics comes into play.
I feel like Lucky the Leprechaun doesn't fly in 2023, but.
But, like, why, though? Like, I want you to explain.
The Irish
to me
are
what's
not oppressed anymore. They haven't been in a long time. This,
a leprechaun's not a human. You guys, you're all overlooking this aspect. A leprechaun is a mythical creature. Just because it's so associated with Irish people does not mean anything. Like, you can't claim a mythical creature and say, like, this can no longer be used as a mascot.
When that mythical creature is inspired by stereotypes.
Is he? It's an Irish myth. Like, it comes from Irish folklore. So if it's inspired by stereotypes, it's because the Irish
I see where Lucas is coming from. I think you're overblowing it. I see where you're coming from. I agree with your logic of getting there, but no, I do not think that leprechauns are offensive. The Irish can, calm down.
Like leprechauns broadly, no, fine, not offensive. Culture, like shared human myth. Lucky the leprechaun doesn't sit right with me.
You're not Irish.
I'm a quarter Irish.
Oh my God.
Okay, you know what?
I'm 1/8 Native American.
Fine. I will hit up, if I have the opportunity to talk to Irish people about this. One, I'm going to ask how the movie...
If only there was an Irish person we could talk to about this.
Like from Ireland, like living in Ireland.
Sure.
I might be one day. I'm getting pretty sick of America.
That opportunity comes up. One, I'm going to talk to them about the movie Banshees of Inisherin. Because I feel like
I'm sure they'll appreciate that. I heard a sing-songy accent. Let me ask you a question about Brendan Gleeson.
Totally justified in that movie, right? Not just me. Secret good guy of the film.
Oh my God.
Top 10 times the villain was actually right.
Oh my Jesus God. Christ. Watchmojo.com. Top 10 times the villain was actually right. Number 10, Brendan Gleeson, Banshees of Inisherin. I don't know about that.
A couple of questions about that movie. But then, if, how lucky the leprechaun sits with them in 2023.
I want to know too, because to me, I ain't got shit. Like, I don't understand at all. I see Andrew apparently sees where Lucas is coming from. I don't. Like, I'm just like, I guess teams can't be named after dragons anymore because that's English myth. Like, you can't name a team after, I don't fucking know. What are other mythological creatures? Unicorns?
I don't know. A German guy has never gone up to an Irish dude and been like, oh, look, it's the unicorn people. Ooh, look, are you
people
running around?
People say leprechaun people? Like, there's so many other stereotypes. I feel like leprechaun is not the like main Irish, like weird racism centered, you know? Like, it's not like, wow, the Irish, you're all lucky. Like, you know, like I don't think that was how they held the Irish people down, you know? How about, let's put it that way. There was many a mode of oppression of the Irish, maybe being overstated in the 21st century by racists to try to make this weird false equivalency between like the suffering of people of color and white people. But yeah. I don't know if leprechaun was the main image used to keep them down. But yeah, anyway, Jrue Holiday on the Celtics.
Yeah.
And they're now like definitely our biggest competition.
Oh yeah, for sure. Probably in the whole NBA, not even just in the East.
No, like... Of course, across both conferences. I mean, if Porzingis stays healthy, obviously the Celtics are very good, but that seems to be a very strong if.
Yeah, I mean, Phoenix is good too, but like I would definitely put the Celtics over Phoenix.
I mean, who does Phoenix put on Giannis? Like,
I mean, you know, they don't play defense. Like they just score.
Yeah, no, I don't. I think Boston, and they're gonna trot out Alfred Horford again to guard Giannis.
Alfred Horford.
That's his full name. That's his legal full name.
His Christian name.
He's like, what, fucking 37?
He is 37. Like, I looked him up the other day.
Yeah. Like, he's at some point, he's definitely not going to be able to play a lick of defense. Like, we saw it with Blake Griffin, where, like, one year he played surprisingly good defense against Giannis. And it was like, holy shit, Blake Griffin is a Giannis stopper. And then the following year, it was horrific, and he just lost that step and could not guard him at all.
I remember 2021. He guarded Giannis for like 2 minutes. He was out there.
Yeah, it was pathetic. And like, yeah, Al Horford played good defense on Giannis in the limited time that Giannis was healthy in that series. And now this year, we'll see. Could very well be the year that he is not able to guard Giannis. And then, yeah, you're going to put fucking Tingus Pingus, all 220 pounds of him on Giannis. Like,
I've never heard him called that before.
That's like his Reddit nickname, is Tingus Pingus. So we're going to see about that one. That will be very interesting.
And then, of course, we have the Packer game kicking off in about an hour and 15 minutes. Boy, that Lions loss was demoralizing. But
LaFleur break. Cried during the halftime interview. That was bad. Didn't like that.
But you know what? Would love it if we could stay 500 and above this season. Hope we can do that against the Raiders. Looking ahead on our schedule, boy. You know, any given Sunday, but it seems like we got a couple of layups coming up after this, and take them.
Yeah, we got the Raiders, who, I mean, are very bad. The Raiders suck. If we lose to them, then we know that, like, the rest of the season's about evaluation. Yeah. But, and then after the bye, we've got the Broncos, who are, like, the Broncos, by a number of statistics, have the worst defense ever recorded through the first five games of a season. It's hilarious. I don't know how they fielded such a bad defense after, like, looking so talented last year.
And then did you see the flip side of that, where someone asked Mike McDaniel, like, so the Dolphins, like, your team, they have the most offensive yardage in the first five games of an NFL season in NFL history. And Mike McDaniel, and they're like, how do you feel about that? And he's just like, I mean, mission accomplished. Like, we did it. You know, we said before the season, like, those first five games, if we can hold the record for most offensive yards in the first five games of the NFL season, then we did it. That was pretty amazing. And yeah, those two things are very closely related. The fact that the Broncos are last in NFL history and the Dolphins are first in NFL history are very closely related to the 70-20 blowout. Mm. So...
But then after the Broncos, we've got the Vikings, Rams, Steelers, Chargers, then the Lions again. Oh, and then the Chiefs to start December. That's going to be a tough one.
You know, it's any given Sunday. We could lose every single one of those games leading up to the Chiefs and then win against the Chiefs.
Yeah,
it's,
I mean,
how the NFL works.
I know we hate them. I got to give it to the Bears. Not only because I was instrumental in my fantasy football
win
this week.
I believe you said at the beginning of this podcast that you do, in fact, not have to give it to him.
Well, I mean, for the sake of the sport, like, I want things to be interesting. And also, so rarely does a player say, yeah, no, we're bad because the coaches are bad. Prove correct when a game where the coaches have just kind of given up on a season, let a player do whatever he wants, whatever he's good at.
Coaches did not give up on the season.
Yeah.
Mm.
They didn't.
One of them did.
One of them resigned in disgrace.
Yeah. He didn't give up on the season. He was kicked out, like,
for potentially some stuff that's going to be coming out.
I mean, wasn't he just having the worst divorce? I think I saw that rumor going around.
That's a way of trivializing it. He's just going through a hard time.
No, I'm legitimately unsure of the news. Like, what?
I've definitely seen other reports of potential abuse. Stuff that's coming.
Okay.
So, and also, did you watch a second of the Bears Commanders game? Because they didn't necessarily look good. Where the Commanders look terrible, and they got it done.
But they
took care of business.
But this is their first year without Snyder. Like, this is them. That, like, they're winning no matter what.
That was the tape that held them together.
Yeah,
Dan Snyder. You can't blame Lucas for being bad.
Lucas is saying that, like, even if they lose every single game, they've still won because Dan Snyder's not there anymore.
Yeah. They've won in the game of life.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The vibes have never been better.
If you asked a Commanders fan, would you rather win the Super Bowl with Dan Snyder or lose to the Bears in prime time by 20 points with some rando, I think they might choose the earlier.
We have a part-time Commanders fan we can ask tonight about that.
Yeah, I don't know if Ian's coming over.
Hope he is. All right, I think that will just about do it for episode 236 of the Voluntary Viewing Podcast, which will almost certainly be titled Nightmare Blunt Rotation. If you like what you heard, like, comment, subscribe, etc. Check us out Instagram, YouTube, TikTok for highlight clips. Support us on Patreon and join the likes of Sucky Badger and Tiffany Cole. I lost my thought. Follow us on Twitter at @V2_podcast. Follow me, Lucas DeRuyter, on Blue Sky. Keep up with all my writing, everything I got going on. Maybe, definitely some cool stuff in the works. Can't quite share any of it yet, but you better believe I'm excited to when embargoes, and I don't like embargoes, but I guess I gotta play ball. I guess I gotta be professional. Anyway, hope you all have a great week. Go Packers. Goodbye.